All hail the gillfeather turnip, the official vegetable of the state of Vermont. This knobbly lump of a veggie that acts more like a rutabaga than a turnip is finally getting its due respect. And joining us to talk about its path to becoming the anointed state vegetable, as well as what you can do with it, is Anita Raphael, Wardsboro resident and gillfeather turnip enthusiast. She's been an active volunteer in the community efforts to get the turnip recognized. Anita, welcome to Vermont Edition.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
What is a gillfeather turnip?
Oh, it's half rutabaga, half turnip. It's a hybrid that was developed by John Gillfeather, hence the name. The earliest reference we have in print to it is about 1902, so we think it originated about that time here in Wardsboro. And it's delicious. It's sweet and creamy, like more like a rutabaga, but it's white instead of yellow. And it doesn't have that little back-of-the-throat bite that normal turnips have, that little bit of sulfurous something that's in a turnip and a parsnip traditionally. That's not in this root vegetable. So they're sweet and creamy.
And they're actually best if you let them stay in the ground through the first frost?
Yes, they should be harvested after the first hard frost, not a little frost, not the kind that kills your petunias, but a good hard frost. Because what happens is, like most root vegetables, they're very high in water content. And Mother Nature figured this out really, really well. Mother Nature said, look, you're going to freeze to death unless you do something. So the turnip goes, oh, my God, I better do something. So the turnip turns its water into sugars. It forms all these phytochemicals, turn into glucosinolates or something. It's very complicated chemistry. But what happens is sugar water has a lower freezing point than regular water. So that's what makes the turnip super sweet after a frost, is that it tries to save its own life by turning itself into sugar.
All right, Anita does have a recipe for us, a couple of recipes for the gill,
do.
But don't give them yet. I'm giving a tease here, Anita. I want people to know we are going to tell you what to do with them. But if you are a gillfeather turnip enthusiast or have ever cooked with one, or maybe, as our executive producer Patty Daniels says, just gives them to the hogs, give them to the hogs and then make a pork shoulder, you could call in and tell us what you do with the gillfeather turnip. We'd love to hear. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211, or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. I tweeted out that we were going to be talking about the gillfeather turnip and asking people for what their best way to serve it was, and Krista wrote back, that's the most Vermont tweet of all time, and I say that with great love. So, Anita Raphael, are you getting teased a little bit, and are Wardsboro residents getting teased a little bit for being so enthusiastic about a turnip?
Yeah, there's been some comments here and there on different social media and at the ends of lovely articles that have been written about it. But that's okay. We take it in good fun because we have a big festival where we totally get carried away with this. So we actually like the attention that it's getting in any context. We're good with that.
Well, why do you care enough, though, about this vegetable that you wanted to make it a state vegetable? Because this actually took quite a while to go through the legislature.
It did. The whole thing started in late 2014. The bill didn't make it into the House until January 2015. It didn't make it to the Senate until January 2016. And so it did take a long time. And it was April 29th when the bill finally passed the Senate. And the governor will be signing the bill at a little ceremony at the State House at 2 p.m. on May 24th. So if you'd like to come and cheer for us on that day, there will be at least one turnip present. We're going to get one out of cold storage and bring it along with us. So it did take a long time, but it was well worth it because this is a vegetable that's rooted in Vermont.
Ha, ha, ha.
It literally is a Vermont vegetable. So like Senator David Zuckerman had proposed kale. Remember the whole kale thing a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was excited about that. And there were the T-shirts and the bumper stickers, eat more kale. Great idea, but kale is everywhere. Nobody even knows where kale came from, like China maybe or something. But we know precisely where this turnip came from. The farm is still in existence. The house the guy lived in is still there. They still grow the same turnip in the same field. So it's totally Vermont-y.
Well, you say that, but isn't there a turnip in Maine that is kind of surprisingly similar to the gillfeather turnip?
Yes, we've contacted the Waldo Borough, Maine Historical Society. Waldo Borough is a village just outside to Wiscasset, actually, on Route 1 on the coast, and we haven't really had a good communication with them. So if you're listening over in Maine, we want to talk to you. Their story is that their turnip washed up in a shipwreck on the shores, and somebody found this turnip on the rocky coast of Maine, and then they planted it, and it grew, and now they have the Waldoboro turnip. So we want the real story on that one. But the only way to truly find out if they're related, of course, is to do the genome on both of the turnips, and maybe we can get the UVM people to do that genome testing for us.
So Waldoboro, Maine has the story about the shipwreck. Tell me a little bit more about the story in Wardsboro for Gilfeather.
Well, it's a great story because John Gilfeather grew these turnips on the farm that he had here on Gilfeather Road, and he brought the turnips to market, but so that no one else could grow them, he cut the tops off the turnips and he cut the roots off. They tend to grow with a lot of root hairs, and he must have individually shaved literally thousands of turnips before he loaded up his wagon and brought them to market. He sold them as far south as into Massachusetts, over the border into New York, certainly. He must have wandered to markets over in New Hampshire as well. And there are notices in the newspaper where he puts in a notice that he's bringing his crops to market, but you better pre-order them early because they are going to sell out. So clearly he had some fame in his lifetime with them, but it only lasted as long as he did because he was a little bit protective of how the turnip was grown and cultivated. But nonetheless, there's a happy ending to this. Some people did have the seeds. Some people did preserve them. And eventually, by the 1970s, a couple in Dummerston, Bill Schmidt and his wife Mary Lou Schmidt, managed to get some seeds trademarked and accepted as an heirloom vegetable. A few years after that, when the slow food movement took root, actually came out of Italy, the slow food people recognized the Gilfeather turnip, and they put it in their arc of taste as an important vegetable for the preservation of biodiversity in agriculture. And this is what it's about. If we all ate the same five vegetables, that wouldn't be good for us and for the environment. So we're delighted that the biodiversity becomes the main reason behind the preservation of an heirloom vegetable such as the Gilfeather.
You mentioned that Gilfeather himself was so protective of his turnips that he would shave the hairs off them so people couldn't propagate them. In fact, though, it's still kind of difficult to get your hands on the seeds of a Gilfeather turnip.
It is. There are a few commercial growers that will provide seeds. There's a couple of seed companies. You can just go on the internet and find them. But if you look in the fine print, it will say 10 packets available or 5 packets available because it takes 2 years to get seeds out of these turnips. It's very labor intensive. First, you have to grow the turnip from seed. Then you don't harvest the turnip, but you dig it up and you winter it over. Then the next year you plant the turnip, the actual turnip itself, and then you let it flower and go to seed. And then you have to go through all the trouble of harvesting the seed, cleaning it, winnowing it, packaging it. It's a very fine seed. It's tiny. And so to get a handful of seeds out of a field of turnips is quite an endeavor. If you're in southern Vermont, you can get them at Dutton's. He carries them. And we will have some for sale at our plant sale here in Wardsboro on May 28th, Saturday.
So you're not kidding that it's part of the slow foods movement. It is part of like the really, really slow foods movement.
It's very slow.
We got a note from Rachel in Jamaica who says, what do I do to enjoy them? I drive from Pikes Falls Road to South Hill Road, going from Jamaica to Wardsboro on some very lovely old-time dirt roads on one fine morning in early fall to get some delicious Gilfeather turnip soup at the Gilfeather Turnip Festival in Wardsboro. This soup is ridiculous. Three cheers to Wardsboro, their library, and the fine turnip. I really love that it has become our state vegetable, and my six-year-old loves that fact better still. And let's go to Debbie calling in from Saxton's River. Hi, Debbie. Go ahead.
Yes, hello. I just wanted to say that the Gilfeather turnip has become a tradition for our Thanksgiving dinner. And, you know, I don't like turnip. I just don't. But I love the taste of the Gilfeather turnip. It tastes like cauliflower to me. It's very sweet. I just cut it up in small pieces, boil it, and mash it like potato and add butter, and our whole family just loves it.
Debbie, are you sure it's not the butter that's changing the flavor for you?
Really? I know. I understand. but I am very lucky to be an artist here in Vermont. I get to trade my artwork for gilfeather turnip, and I think that's kind of fun too.
Oh, Debbie, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. And let's hear one more, and then Anita's going to tell us what else you can do with the gilfeather turnip. But Roger is calling in from Granville, New York. Hi, Roger. Go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to I've not had one of these turnips, so I'm going to try and get one soon. But I wanted to just bring up that I'm thrilled that Vermont has adopted a genetically modified organism as its vegetable. And that's wonderful, and we're learning what GMO's benefits are at this time.
Roger, thanks for your call. Boy, you know, you wouldn't think the gilfeather turnip could be a political argument and a political sticking point. But Anita Raphael, you told us it took a couple of years to get this through. And the kids in Wardsboro who are helping to push this through as part of a civics lesson certainly got that. I mean, Roger even tying it to the GMO debate, because this was a turnip that was crossbred over time and some of the genes expressed and some others done a different
right.
way than
we,
people
we
typically
exactly
talk about GMO.
Know if gilfeather did it on purpose. Or if it just happened in his backyard and he happened to be the beneficiary of a lucky accident. But the ultimate hybridizer is always Mother Nature herself. And so we just don't know. He never recorded whether he had been experimenting, you know, and trying to cook up something, or whether he just found it one day. Turnips grow in the wild, and they're actually related to things that we call field mustard and things like that, the whole brassica family, kale, cabbage, and all that. So these things, although they are an open pollinated species, meaning they will tend to breed true to what they are, they can cross-pollinate.
And fall off ships and shipwrecks, apparently. Anita, what the heck do you do with gilfeather turnips? What is, give us a couple of the best ways to eat them.
Well, I want to thank Rachel for mentioning the soup, and Debbie and Roger. But the soup is fabulous because it's one of the quickest, easiest things to make. The gilfeather turnip soup originated with Chef Greg Parks of the Four Columns Inn in Newfane, down here in Windham County. And he was kind enough 14 years ago to help us with this recipe. And you have to chop up a whole bunch of turnips. Obviously, usually you want to make a big batch of this. So you probably start with 3 pounds of gill feathers. You have to wash them. You peel them a little bit. And these you want to chop into maybe half-inch dice so that they cook a little bit quicker. You want to chop up 3 or 4 large onions, at least 1 clove of garlic, although you could make it without the garlic. Anyway, you start this recipe by melting a little bit of butter. A lot of butter. About a quarter of a stick of butter. A quarter of a pound of butter, 1 stick of butter in a saucepan. You add the onion and garlic. You saute that a little bit. And then you want to add stock. You can either add vegetable stock if you want to go vegetarian with it, or chicken broth. For the festival, we use vegetable stock. And then you boil the turnips in the stock until they're tender, which doesn't take that long if you cut them up small. You want to drain them, but you want to reserve the liquid. Then you can run it through a food processor or food mill works very nicely. You just grind up the turnips to a puree, and then you put it back to the pot. You want to add a little bit of nutmeg, not too much, just a teeny pinch of nutmeg, maybe a little salt and pepper to taste. And then at that point, you can stop. If you're preparing this recipe like a day ahead or 2 days ahead, you can just stop right there and chill it down. And then when you want to finish the soup, you would reheat it and then not boil it, but then just bring it almost to a simmer. And then you would want to add about a cup of half and half to make it super creamy. And then a nice way to serve this is to sauté some spinach greens, or you can sauté the greens of the turnip itself if you save them. And then you just sauté those in a little olive oil, and then you would puree that. You put it in a little squeeze bottle, and then you can just sort of make a little swirl on the top of the soup, a little spinach coulis to serve with the turnip soup.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and we're going to leave it there with our mouths watering. Anita Raphael is a Wardsboro resident and gilfeather turnip enthusiast. We'll post her recipe on the Vermont Edition Facebook page in case you didn't get a chance to get that all down. Anita, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on your successful endeavor.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you to everybody who made this possible. Thank you.